drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. She started off in rural Australia before finding her feet in the music scene of Melbourne. But Larissa Tandy has taken a rather international approach to her music these days. She's relocated to Canada and is soon jetting off to Nashville. She gets around. But in between, she's back home to introduce us to her debut solo album, The Grip, and she's my guest in the drawing room. Larissa, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
This is your debut solo album, but you've been playing for a lot of years now. Like, this is, you know, this is not the beginning.
Yeah.
What's the story been before now? Where did the music all begin?
Lots of hiding in other bands, lots of writing songs for other bands or band names that were really just kind of shop fronts for what I was doing for myself. That probably started 20 years ago now. When I finished high school, I suddenly was interested in playing guitar. I stole a guitar from my brother.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Affirmative action in the household.
Yeah. I just didn't have the resources to get one. I thought he'd be mad when he caught me with it, and he wasn't. He was thrilled. He bought me a guitar of my own, and then off I went.
How does it feel putting your own name at the front? I mean, you know, you say hiding, and I love the word hiding because it has lots of layers to it, that you're kind of making music but not making yourself the center of it all. How does it feel now to actually be in the spotlight?
Well, it's been a very difficult thing to reconcile. I'm not, I probably would love to be very anonymous and just writing songs, but unfortunately those two don't go well together. So you kind of need to be putting yourself out there a bit. How does it feel now? I don't know. It's kind of, it actually is quite liberating. I think I made a decision a couple of years ago, putting a lot of stock in other people and doing all the legwork to get everyone a career. And, I don't know, it felt good to finally, I don't know, something clicked over and I felt like I was kind of worthy of that and I started going for it.
Before you started work on this album, you left Australia and you moved to Canada. I know you're on the road a lot of the time, but you are, you know, as you said to me off air, you got all your stuff somewhere in Vancouver. Why did you decide to make that shift?
I think there was, I mean, a few reasons. I've certainly got a connection to Canada. My wife is Canadian. You know, we tried living in Australia and I'd spent 5 years kind of living back here after I'd initially gone to Canada. You know, I come from a big, loving family here and have lots of friends and lots of network in the Melbourne kind of community. But I was frustrated. I was definitely frustrated. The marriage equality issue was kind of wearing me down. So I kind of made the break to just, I just needed a break, really. I had no idea that I was going to move somewhere. But I just needed to take a little rest from it.
Does it make a difference to live in a country with different laws?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a difficult thing to articulate, but it's not so much the legal perspective. It's that there's not the constant public dialogue about my status. You know, it could just kind of, it's a bit degrading to constantly hear, whether it's positive or negative, to have people discussing whether you're have equal status as a human being as. I don't know. I think it's degrading and it wore me down after a little while. It made me start to not like Australia and I'm Australian and everyone I love is Australian. So that's not right. So something had to change.
Tell me about The Grip. This has been written during a difficult time, I believe.
Yeah, tough time. I was actually living out on the farm when I wrote most of these songs, helping mum out up there. I mean, it's called The Grip for that reason. You know, I was in the grip of a whole bunch of things. Life drama, but it's also songs about kind of coming to grips with that. So that's how I kind of named the record. People ask me like what I like to write songs about, and I think that if you just kind of are paying attention to life, there's plenty of natural drama there. There's plenty of...
It's too much.
Yeah, there's stuff goes on, you know. So we just had a rough trot and, you know, we had a lot of things going wrong that were kind of beyond our control and a lot of sadness and all that sort of stuff. Just kind of what happens to everyone eventually. So during that time, I kind of, every night I was sitting down with my guitar to hammer out kind of how I felt about it all.
Did it help you deal with it?
It certainly helped me reconcile a lot of it. Yeah, a lot of the songs, you know, a couple in particular, like just really definitely an attempt to make sense of stuff and dealing with the shift in my own perspective on what I believed in and how I felt about death and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
You roped in quite a few Australian musicians to work with you on this album, and you did say how much you love Australia and Australians. How did that work?
I was really lucky, and I have some great friends who are very talented. So some of my favourite artists appeared on this record. I made the record in Ottawa, in Canada. And it just happened that, you know, if you time it well enough, you can catch your friends when they're out there on tour. So I did that and I managed to put together a band for the, a core band for the record, including Kat Lay, who plays drums for a whole bunch of people like Lisa Miller and Sal Kimber, and is a really good friend of mine. And another friend of mine, Liz Stringer, who's one of my favourite artists, a great songwriter and a really powerful musician, like not just an amazing singer, but plays everything really well. And she was really handy in the studio playing bass and piano and all sorts of stuff. Even having, she has a sing on it as well. Tracy McNeil sings some backing vocals, and John Flanagan and my brother Ryan plays some guitar. So we kind of
is this the brother that you stole the guitar off?
Same guy.
Oh God, yeah. Useful guy.
Yeah, it's come full circle. Now he's playing on my records.
Use him any way you can.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just kind of, we recorded most of the record in a couple of weeks, and then I went back to Vancouver and was recording some more guitars in my house, and then everyone else in Melbourne was recording backing vocals in their lounge rooms and other studios.
So it's like a Melbourne kind of Vancouver, Ottawa kind of fusion thing.
Yeah, we built a very, very big bridge across the Pacific.
It's a very large bridge.
Yeah.
On RN, I'm Patricia Carvelis and Larissa Tandy is my guest in the drawing room. Larissa, you've got a guitar in here. We've already got you set up, which is exciting. What song are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play The River.
What's The River?
This is a song that I wrote in the peak of bushfire season, an anxious night watching a storm roll in with no rain, just lightning, thinking the whole farm's going to burn tonight, and reflecting on how relaxing farming isn't. And so I wrote this song. At the same time, I guess, you know, I'd gone through a whole bunch of stuff and had built a really good community around myself here in Melbourne and out at the farm as well. And
where is this farm?
Just shy of Shepparton, yeah, in the Goulburn Valley.
So for people not from Melbourne, it's like three-ish hours. Is it
takes about 2 hours from...
Takes me 3 hours.
Yeah.
Out of Melbourne.
From Northcote to Murchison is a couple of hours. But, yeah, it's just a song that reflects on how much you rely on the people around you in those situations.
Let's hear it.
And rising, there's nothing here but dust. And my spirit's galvanizing, but my heart is full of rust. Either I'm praying for rain to fall, or I'm running when the river roars, and that makes no sense at all. Never is surprising when the temperature goes up. My anxiety is rising. The holidays come when the fire risk does. Dreaming of a tan, or I'm executing a fire plan. There's no middle ground, and I don't understand. But when it comes to you and me, I know nothing is perfect. It has never been easy, but it has always been worth it. Fear is multiplying. When dividing the little that we have isn't enough. Now I don't want to be the one to say it, but we're tough enough at times this tough. The work is rolling in, but I'm dreaming of a lottery win. And I'm so tired of waiting on my ship to come in. But when it comes to you and me, I know nothing is perfect. It has never been easy, but it has always been worth it. Lightning strike touches down, and the sky goes gray, the siren sound. Tighten your hand around my neck.
comes to you and me, I know nothing is perfect. It has never been easy, but it has always been worth it. And when it comes to you and me, I know nothing is perfect. It has never been easy.
Larissa Tandy there, and that was a track called The River from her new album, The Grip. Wow, okay, so I got some sort of farmer anxiety listening to the song, although it was a beautiful song.
Yeah, it's not a relaxing
rain.
Life. Yeah, come on now.
Let it rain now. Is it going to rain in this song?
Yeah. It was, well, we just had like really big rivers that year as well, so it's like, is the town going to flood? Maybe. Is the town going to burn a few short months later? Maybe. It can be really wonderful living on the land, but it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
It's really hard.
Your work has been used in films as well. How did that come about?
Working in bars.
Tell me more.
Yeah, I was working with a bartender who was writing a screenplay, and we just got talking about that narrative one night, and then we got talking about what I was doing, and next thing you know, the film ended up licensing a bunch of songs. And then the director really liked what was happening, the kind of tone of it, and he sent me a scene from the third act to compose something for as well. So,
is that something you'd like to do more of?
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, definitely a lot of fun. I don't know how much work is out there. I'm not a super technical musician, so I don't know how versatile I am if I had to put something together. That said, you know, I vainly thought that, you know, if my music was ever being used for films, it'd be, you know, some beautifully shot art house masterpiece. But no, I tend to get picked up for gritty cop dramas.
That's all right.
Yeah. So.
But they're very watchable.
I'll take it.
I'd take it.
Yeah.
You're taking off across Australia for the next few weeks, but then after that, I think there's more like getting around the world for you. What's the plan in Nashville?
I go home for a couple of weeks. I say home. I said home when I was flying here, and then I'm saying home when I go back to Vancouver to my house. I go back to Vancouver for a couple of weeks, and then I head down to Nashville for a few months for my songwriter residency.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I can't wait.
How did that come about?
Well, the Australia Council for the Arts has a residency scheme. And one of those is a Nashville songwriter residency. And they fund one Australian songwriter every year. They put them into the Nashville environment with a mentor, a guy called Mark Moffat, who's very connected there and has a really strong track record as a producer and musician. And it's just an opportunity for me. Everyone kind of uses it differently, but for me it's really a chance to knuckle down on my songwriting chops and learn as much as I can.
Has Nashville always loomed large for you? There's a bit of a country twang, I suppose, in the river and broadly in your music, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't come from a country music background. I started out in kind of punk rock bands and things like that, but good songwriting has always been at the heart of it. And I think country music that's the home for songwriters.
And I've got to ask you as a final question, you know, you talked about this kind of reconciliation with Australia effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ever going to come back here?
I want to.
You want to?
Yeah. I mean, I'm Australian, you know, and Melbourne is my home. Everyone I love is here. Everyone, you know, I go out in the world. I've been on tour for months now, and everywhere I go, people see me as an Australian. They don't see me as anything other than that. Like, that's how I identify, and I can't even consider not living here for the rest of my life. So maybe once I've had a break, maybe when the environment is a little different, I'd definitely be keen to come home.
Now let's hear the song that you've brought in for us to listen to. It's Somewhere Else by Kathleen Edwards. Why have you chosen this one?
Well, the record I just made, the record I've just put out, I made with a guy called Jim Bryson. I was living in Canada and trying to reconcile interacting with Canadian music listeners and wondering if I would be too weird or too much of an outsider or something. So I was keen to work with a Canadian, and Jim is a beloved Canadian musician. He wrote this song, Somewhere Else. Kathleen recorded it on this record. Jim's also recorded a version. And I mean, he plays in her band. He's been her right hand for many, many years. I really like this song. It's something that there's a real sweet optimism that I really like, even though it's kind of sounds a little jaded. I particularly like there's one line in it where he's written, life can be cruel, but life can be sweet if I want it to. And I think that kind of that's a significant sentiment for me.
Hey, it's been so great to have you in the drawing room. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
And this is Somewhere Else by Kathleen Edwards, the song chosen by Larissa Tandy, who's been my guest in the drawing room.
I used to look for you out in the daylight, out to highways and side streets and back lanes, slept under open skies.
And that was Somewhere Else by Kathleen Edwards, and it was the song chosen by Larissa Tandy, who was my guest in the drawing room. Her show's on July 2nd in Melbourne, so you can look it up for dates.